check the voice levels to make sure that we're recording all right. And I guess we've got everything set. We can get started. This is Jim Boning of the Center for History of Chemistry speaking with Professor William J. Bailey on June 3rd, 1986, in a seminar room in the chemistry department at the University of Maryland. Professor Bailey, you were born on August 11th, 1921 in Grand Forks, Minnesota.
East Grand Forks. It's just over the line in Minnesota.
I actually looked that up on the map, and it's right on the border. Can you tell me something about your parents, their names, background, their occupation?
Well, my father was born in Inkster, North Dakota. My grandfather was in the retail lumber business. My father then was in the retail lumber business all his life, and I grew up in the lumber business, and my brother continued managing the family business back in Walker, Minnesota. But my father then was managing a lumber yard in East Grand Forks at the time that I was born. My mother was also from North Dakota. She was born in Park River, North Dakota. And they were married quite young. My mother finished only 2 years of high school and didn't graduate from high school. My father started the University of North Dakota and then was drafted in World War I. And so when he came back, he didn't go back to college. So he had about one year of college.
And, did he have any particular interest at that time when he went to college?
No. He was just going to take a general course, probably with an emphasis on business. And so that was his main interest. So they were both born in 1898, and my father was named Admiral Ross Bailey, and he was born on the 4th of July, and that was not long after Dewey had captured Manila, and so they decided they would have to name him something patriotic. So they didn't like George and they didn't like Dewey, so they named him Admiral. So all his life he had a lot of fun with the name Admiral.
And your mother's name?
Was Erva Violet. That's E-R-V-A.
You moved to Walker, Minnesota, I guess when you were quite young, six or something.
That's right, when I was,
what was the occasion of the move?
Well,
the business was in Grand Forks.
What we moved from East Grand Forks to a small town called Fisher, Minnesota, and where he managed another lumber company, and then my uncle Norman, my dad's brother, was a salesman for the Weyerhaeuser Lumber Company, and they were always talking about buying a lumber yard of their own, and they had a chance to buy the one in Walker. So the two brothers were in partnership then, in the Bailey Lumber Company.
And that's where you would have started your schooling then, in Walker?
That's right. I actually started in Fisher, but midway through my first year, we moved to Walker. So I completed the first year of my schooling in Walker then, and all the rest of it was in Walker. Walker's a very small town. At the time we moved there, it was 600 people, and now it's up to about 1,000.
That's still quite small.
Well, it was the county seat, and was the biggest town for about 40 miles.
That's in the Lake Country, isn't it?
That's right, right in the heart of the Lake Country, and that's practically the only industry they have there, is the tourist business.
How was that as a kid growing up in that environment? Was that?
Right? Oh, it was delightful. Of course, there was an awful lot of emphasis on outdoor activities, camping, fishing, hunting, all kinds of sports activities and things like that that were very much emphasized.
I had meant to ask you earlier, do you have any siblings? I mentioned your brother, I think.
And I have one brother, and he's about a year and a half older than I am.
I see. And his name?
Is Robert Bob.
Were there any, as you went to school, let's say the lower grades in Walker, were there any teachers there that you remember that had any particular influence?
Well, I remember, you know, a few of them that were really good, but it wasn't until high school that I really could identify someone that had a profound influence on me. And there was one high school teacher that spent a lot of time with me and other people that showed some interest, and this is Fred Olmos.
How do you spell the last name?
O-L-N-E-S-S. And he was really a college teacher. Had taught in a college level before that, but then during the Depression, a lot of people lost their job, and he came to Walker, actually working on a WPA project, and then got the job teaching at the school, and he was had a tremendous interest in science of all types. Chemistry, physics, and math, and also languages. And so he spent hours after school teaching advanced courses and things like this to really encourage the kids. In a small high school, we didn't have many additional things, and there was a professor, John Elliott of MIT, and I took solid geometry as after school from him, and we passed the state exam to get credit for it. So John is a professor in, I guess, of mechanical engineering at MIT now.
So two of you from a very small school. At
right.
the same time.
Right. And there were a lot of people that came out of there that did well because of Fred. And it was a very small thing. And so I took additional math courses, and we had a lot of discussion of science, and even taught German to us after school one year, things like that. So he spent a lot of time with us. So I've kept up my contact with him. He left the Walker, and he was teaching at Alpena Community College in Michigan, Alpena, Michigan, until he retired. And so we've kept good contacts. It was real surprising to my kids when they were younger when he would come to visit us, and for them to see the relationship that I still had with one of my high school teachers. And I think that made a tremendous impression on my children.
I can imagine. How long would these sessions be after school?
Well, it would be several hours.
Several hours?
Yeah. Yeah.
And would there be three, four of you or more?
Well, there might be all the way from two that took this one math course from them to maybe a half a dozen for some of the sessions.
What about chemistry? Did you have any...
Well, now, he really didn't even teach chemistry, but the coach taught chemistry, and he did a very good job. He was the basketball coach and the also the football coach and the track coach. We didn't have very many teachers, but he was an excellent chemistry teacher.
What was his name?
Milton Gulsvig.
How do you spell the last name?
Gulsvig.
Okay. What kind of laboratory facilities did you have?
Well, it was very crude. We really had very little things to work with. It was really old things. So we did. We had a few beakers and test tubes and a few chemicals. And, so we did very very crude experiments. Obviously, during the Depression, the school didn't have much money to really do anything of any consequence in this old school.
Was that your first exposure to chemistry?
Well, probably my first experience was when I got a ChemCraft chemical set.
Oh. when was that?
Well, that must have been when I was 10 to 12 years old in that period.
And did you work with that chemistry set over a period of years then?
That's right. Well, I went through all the experiments that were in the thing. It was a pretty good size set. Wasn't the biggest, but it was a pretty good size one.
Did you ever strike out on your own from the prescribed experiments?
Well, we always did a few things. Obviously, I was interested in explosives and things like that, so we made a lot of gunpowder and stuff like that.
I understand that you were you also participated in athletics
yes.
when you were in high school. And could you say something about your experiences with
Well, of course, this was a small school, and you had to get most of the boys out, or you wouldn't have had a team. So my brother was, of course, a very good athlete, and I was not quite as big as he was, nor as fast, but certainly got in good physical shape, so I had a real good endurance. So I played almost all the sports. We played six-man football.
Oh, really?
Which was popular in those days, but you hardly hear anything about it now. But it was quite common in there. So it's a it's a much faster game than the 11 man because every block is an open field block and every tackle is an open field tackle. So I played end on the the 6-man football and was made all conference of that. And then I played guard on the basketball team, and so we had a pretty good team. So that was pretty good. And then I went out for track, and I ran the 440 and threw the shot and the disc. I was good enough in the discus to get to the state tournament. So I noticed I won our region. I didn't do so well in the state, but...
That's coming from a small school.
Yeah, right.
Did you have to do much traveling in terms of competing with other schools?
Well, we
in your conference?
Yeah, in the conference. Yeah, those were usually schools that weren't maybe 50, 60 miles away with the most we traveled, and usually went by school bus, something of that type. And but then in the summer I played American Legion baseball, and also played golf.
You said that the chemistry teacher was also the coach on a number of these.
Yeah, right.
So did you develop any relationship with him?
Well, yes. It was a nice personal relationship with the coach. Right.
Had you, during this time, discussed any career options?
Well, probably not that. That early time, I wasn't really sure, you know, that I what field I was going into. I knew I wanted to be a scientist or a mathematician, but I hadn't really excluded the other fields at that time. Although I had an interest in chemistry, it really wasn't until I went to the university that I sort of quickly narrowed the thing. I think that when I first went down there, I wasn't really sure that I would be a chemist or a physicist. But they gave us a battery of entrance exams. They were very deep in things, and the results of the tests showed that I had a better aptitude for chemistry than some of the other sciences.
I see.
And I was kind of surprised that it came out that way. So I took a general course in. Starting out in the liberal arts college, and then took beginning physics and beginning chemistry and beginning math course, and did well, and I liked the chemistry, so I picked that for my major, and then later on actually shifted then from liberal arts to the Institute of Technology. And finally ended up with a degree, Bachelor of Chemistry, that they had there, which was a much more intense degree than a Bachelor of Arts in liberal arts.
I have a number of questions I wanted to ask you about the University of Minnesota, but before I do, let's go back to high school for a moment. This was the Depression.
Yeah.
And did that have any effect on your father's business?
Well, certainly didn't help it any. Although that community up there was, of course, very depressed, even in normal times. So as soon as they started getting the federal aid, they were probably as well off there as they were in normal times. And since it was a tourist business, for instance, a lot of the Iowa farmers and things decided it wasn't worthwhile even planting crops, and they would then come up to go fishing rather than do anything down there. So the tourist business was moderate during this time. People didn't have much money, but I mean, you know, my dad did a lot of bartering. What people would do would be to cut a load of wood and bring it in, trade in the load of wood for some tar paper or cement or something like that, and then my dad stored it and then sold it to the school system and everything that burned wood during that time. So there were a lot of bartering going on in those times. People worked long hours up there, so during the Depression, the average work week was 60 hours during that time. Everybody in the lumber business worked 10 hours a day for 6 days a week.
Did you work in the
business? Yeah, so I worked a lot of time afternoon and on Saturdays, and then all summer. My first job was building fish boxes in the lumber yard. And I remember my first was 10 cents an hour. But 10 cents was a lot of money in those days.
So, when you were, at what point did you make the decision to go to college, and were your parents involved in that decision?
Well, there was really never any question about us going to college. We just sort of grew up with the idea that we were going to go to college. It was just a sort of a question of where, and not if.
I see.
It was just taken for granted. And
did your father discuss that with you as you were growing up?
He certainly wanted us to have an education, and he was a good businessman, and he really could figure things well. And of course, as a lumberman, calculate how to build a house and how strong it had to be and stuff like that. He had picked that up along the way, and so he was very good with numbers. And all the way through, of course, he encouraged us to pick up the other things that we needed. So when I was in school, again, it's a small school, I was manager of the school newspaper. I went out for the declamation. I was an orator, and I actually won a few of the oratorial contests in the area. I played clarinet in the band.
You must have had an incredibly busy day then.
That's right. We just did everything. I of course, there wasn't a lot of homework in those days. You tried to do all your work in school, and so I didn't take books home very often. But but there was something to do all the time. So,
were there any of those activities that any one of those might be a favorite over the others that you enjoyed more than something else?
Well, probably not. I enjoyed all the activities. I certainly got a lot of the oratorical contests, and I certainly enjoyed my music. The social part of playing in the band and everything was always good. And I learned a little business on the side, so I think all those activities were good.
When did you decide on the University of Minnesota?
Well, I think probably that came out because of the financial thing. Obviously, the state school was within our grasp, and even though I got some scholarships to private schools since I was near the top of my class and everything, but obviously the tuition at the University of Minnesota was so low.
Do you remember what it was?
This was $20 a quarter, so it was $60 a year in those days. And so the room and board was the biggest expense, and that turned out to be $130 a quarter, or $390 a year. And for that, we got two of us shared a three-room suite, so I roomed with my brother in Pioneer Hall at the University of Minnesota, and so the total cost of this was not much in today's dollars, but of course it was quite a bit of money in the late 30s when I went to the university. I think there was no question, I think, that we were going to stay within the state and of the state schools. The university just had that much prestige and everything. There was a school close to Walker, and that was in Bemidji. At that time, it was Bemidji State Teachers College. Now it's a full-fledged Bemidji State University, and but at that time it was designated as a teachers' college, and that didn't have the opportunities that the other the Minnesota University had.
You mentioned some private schools that you had scholarship money to. Did you actually apply to other institutions
besides
the university, or did that just come by virtue of your being that high in the class?
Yeah, that just came I was second in the class, the salutatorian of my class. And
do you remember which schools offered you scholarship?
Well, there were more of the private schools. I forget now just ones which ones they were, but they were mostly tuition grants rather than full scholarships or anything like that. So that these were the tuition remission.
You mentioned that you had that you roomed with your brother. Had he gone on ahead of you to the university?
Yes, yeah. So he was a year ahead of me, and he wanted to be an engineer at that time. And but he was also an athlete, and so he was went out for football and track and things on the varsity. He was good enough so that he was the third string quarterback on the national championship teams that were coming out. But that took too much time away from his studies, so he didn't do so well. So my dad made him quit football, and so then he concentrated on track, and so he was very good in the weights, and won the Big Ten Conference and so forth in the shot. And then he didn't finish because he went into the service in the last year. So then he never went back and finished up his degree.